think that you could help me when you couldn't get by yourself?
It's Thursday. It's after five. So, yes, Michael Bublé is playing your theme tune. Michelle, hello.
Hello, hello. I don't know why I always do the little hand thing, too. Have you ever noticed that?
Every week.
Jazz hands.
I'll have to put that on live on Insta, I think, next time. Yes. So, if you're joining us for the first time, every Thursday after 5 o'clock, we are joined by your very own well-being yoga coach, Michelle Spencer.
Ooh,
yes. Again with the jazz hands. What's
going
on?
I don't know. I've lost my marbles this week.
Oh, actually, just before we start, Michelle, I did say just before the news about on this day, Bucks Fizz won the Eurovision Song Contest. Do you know the year? Michelle, do you know what it was?
I have no idea.
Was you in the UK then?
I don't think so.
No. It was 1981. Making your mind up. Okay, over to you, Michelle.
I was definitely not in the UK
then. Okay, over to you, Michelle.
All right. So, hello, hello. So, last week we started talking about exam stress. It is exam season. Those parents, those people that are parents out there right now, probably have children at home with loads of homework or revision, especially if they're of a certain age. I know mine, one of mine's at home with loads of revision right now. We have to have a timetable out. So, I thought I would do a three-part series on how to help your child with test anxiety, which is quite common at this time of the year.
Yeah.
So, and last week we talked about the fact that I was a school teacher for 20 odd years before I ever became a yoga teacher. And so saw it quite often in the classroom as well. So if you didn't, you missed last week we talked about finger breathing, a technique to help. You can catch up online. Joe's got it up there for you. And so this week we're going to talk a little, I'll give you another technique and talk about knowing the signs, actually. Because it's funny, because you listen to, there's the NHS advert out all the time about, oh, is my child sick? And Johnny says he has a fever, blah, 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 blah. Or he says he feels unwell. Actually, perfect timing, because it is kind of a weird time of the year. Like, a lot of people be like, oh, I've got a cold. I'm like, well, are you sure it's not allergies? It could be anything. So it's, again, don't self-diagnose. But again, but with your child, same thing. As soon as they say, oh, I don't feel well, actually think about what time of the year it's at, and are they having exams? So for me, like I said, a couple years ago when my youngest was in year six, it just kind of, it was after the actual written sats. It was the, like I said, the actual, they have to do like writing pieces and stuff like that. And they assess five pieces over a long, like basically it takes a month. And so all they're doing in school is writing, writing, writing. And, he rarely misses a day of school as it is. He's pretty good. He's pretty resilient. Even with broken limbs, he still goes into school. That's just the way I was raised. So that's the way I raised my children. It's been known for me to try to fob off my child with paracetamol whenever he's broken an arm. So, but it was a couple of years ago where he was, had such bad stomach pain. I thought he had appendicitis. Like it was that bad. Like he said he had really bad stomach pain. Like I almost took him to the hospital, and it was constant, right? So you weren't sure. And then, like I said, I kind of put two and two together, because I was like, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. What's going on at school? So picked up the phone. And I would say that's sign number one. If your child suddenly is complaining about stomach aches that always happen in the morning, but then seem to disappear by the time you say, oh yeah, you can stay home, and a couple hours later, by the time lunchtime rolls around, they're fine. Send them in at lunch, first of all. And so that would be your first indication, and kind of keep track of it, and then start again, pick up the phone, call the school, talk to the teacher, talk to the TA, say what's going on at school. It could be something going on at school. It's not just necessarily exams. It could be any other situation. So that's really important rather than...
Yeah, but it is obviously you're still important for you to take it to the doctor, take it. After me. I'm talking with my dog. If you take your child to the vets, I was going to say, to your doctors. Well. Take your child to the, well, it'd probably be quicker, but if you get your child to the doctors.
That's
it. Just to make sure as well that there's nothing actually physically.
Exactly. Yeah. But, and then doctors also will tell you, the GPs will also tell you that there's tricks they have to double check that your child doesn't have appendicitis. But so that was for me a major panic. Another thing is changes in their appetites or sleep patterns. So basically, if they've kind of gone off food, so again, if you live in my house, I don't know how I'm not thinner, because my youngest one, he's a teenager now, but eats everything in the house. So
can't you hide anything, Michelle?
No, there's no this child, like the amount of food, I'm like, I should be a lot skinnier. It's called the teenager diet. But yeah, so basically, if they've kind of gone off their favorite foods, favorite meals, they don't want to eat, or sleep patterns, they're having night terrors, even things like that. That's another one to look out for. Moodiness or irritability. Again, sometimes we just chalk it up to them being teenagers, but it's not always that. It's again, that's how they cope with stress. And for children, they don't know how to kind of they don't know how to
process it.
Yeah, really. Process their stress, or don't realize that it is actually stress, that this is what's happening to them, and that there is an outlet. So same thing with withdrawal from social activities or friendships. So things that they would normally enjoy going to. So if it's like clubs, scouts, dance, whatever kind of club, you know, normally they are quite happy to go off because all their friends are there, and suddenly again, they're going, well, actually, I don't want to go, or because it could also be that whole, well, I need to study. Right. So then there's that kind of idea behind it. And then again, an excessive worry or fear about just everyday events. And a couple of years ago, it was really hard because we were coming to the end of COVID. And I again remember, it's like, even during when the kids were allowed to first go back to school after lockdown, it was, you know, all everybody talked about was, oh, they might have COVID, blah, 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 you know, like constantly look out for the signs. And I remember him coming out one day going, I think I have COVID. I think I had like he was going to die. Mm. And I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it, but I was like, well, you know, and in my head, I was like, oh, I doubt it. But I said, here, I have a test for you. So I gave him a chocolate bar. And I go, how does that taste? He goes, it tastes delicious. I go, you don't have COVID. You can taste everything. So then he felt better. But it's like little things like that, that we kind of, you know, brush aside. But for younger minds, it is a lot. It's a lot for them to process. And when I say younger minds, I mean teenagers as well. It's that whole anxiety. And especially when you consider the world we were living in four years ago at this time, right? Where it was, everything was in lockdown. We were all isolating, and you know, anything could happen. So like I said, number one thing is talk to your child, help them process what is going on, the test, everything. Last week I said about make sure they understand the test is not the end all be all, you know, it doesn't make them who they are. As long as they try their hardest, that's all that matters. And I used to say that as a teacher too, and I'm like, you know, I can bring the water to the horse, but I can't make it drink. So at the end of the day, I can provide the children with all the tools and we can do everything. But if they don't want to write the test or physically write the test, there is nothing as adults we can do about it. So that's something to kind of process. And there are a lot of kids out there, and I know because I've met these kids, that are absolutely brilliant minds, and these tests mean nothing. You know it as a teacher. As teachers, as adults, we know they're absolute. And I'm not talking about my kids, by the way. But I've met other children who are absolute brilliant minds. But the moment a test comes in front of them, they absolutely freeze. But they go on to these amazing things, and I know because I've met these parents, their parents on the streets later, and they tell me how they're doing in university, or they've gone on to what they're doing now in real life. So you just go, you know, at the end of the day, who cares about that test? So I think that's really important as a parent. Once you kind of start seeing these signs, really sit down and talk to your child and find out, like, what is it that's actually the root of their problem? Because I said it might not be the test. It could be a bully or something else going on at school, something completely different as well. But just to help them process. And that's what we talk about, that mindfulness, getting to the root of your problems. And that's where mindfulness comes in as adults, right? We can sit there and we go, actually, what is it that's bothering me? What's and kind of unravel it a bit. So that's really important. The other thing I would say is help them revise in small chunks. So again, don't make it overwhelming. Like I said, me and Alistair, we've got a timetable, you know, like teaching them. You have to teach them these skills. You know, we just expect them to know how to revise. And it's like, actually, it's a process. It's like, well, let's just break it up in chunks. Let's just do 45 minutes a day. Or, you know, you've got three subjects. What's your timetable like? Take breaks, make sure they're taking breaks, getting out there, getting fresh air, especially if they're doing GCSEs, that they're exercising, like both of them are coming to the gym with me afterwards, things like that. And then I always think also have them teach you. And as a teacher, I used to do that all the time. I go, actually, make them give me a quiz. Test me. Test my knowledge. Because actually, studies have shown that the best way to study is by teaching. You learn the most by teaching others.
Really?
Yeah. That and comedy. So, yeah, but actually, so a really good teaching technique is have them teach you. So just have them give you quizzes. And then finally, mindfulness. So we're going to do a little, we've got time, right?
Yeah, yeah,
I've
sure.
rambled
no,
on today,
no,
sorry.
No, 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 you've got, because I think it's really important because you discuss about the repetition where the kids have to get into a routine so yeah. that they make sure that they're doing all the revision. Well, I wish I had that time to actually just practice a bit of meditation or mindfulness if we didn't have the terminology then. No. That was. I think there's a lot of people, many decades younger than me as well, might have felt the same. So it's like incorporating that is what you're trying to say as well into their routine once they're doing.
Absolutely,
all the
exams. So when I talk about timetables, not just the studying, but it's the breathing. Practice the breathing. Practice the mindfulness. Going for walks. You know, taking time for yourself.
Yeah.
But another one that you can do, and I think we've done this one in the past, so I'll just revise it really quickly, is the belly breathing. So that's just by bringing, and again, it's when you can practice and do it in the exam. So you just bring your hands onto your belly.
Right. Which one? And
all three.
I was talking about mine, not yours, Michelle, obviously. Yeah, go
on. So we're going to just bring the hands onto the belly and imagine a balloon. So imagine your belly is a balloon, but as you breathe in, your belly expands like a balloon.
Sure.
And then as you breathe out, your belly deflates.
Gotcha.
So that's all you're doing. And just repeat it 5 to 8 times. You're breathing in nice and slow, not quick. Otherwise, you're hyperventilate. So you're really slow, thinking again. Inhaling for maybe a count of 4. And exhaling for a count of 4. And again, just taking that time to prepare yourself when you feel stressed or anxious.
So do you clench your hands as you put them on your stomach or just...
So I usually...
Just lightly?
Just lightly.
Well?
And then what happens when your belly expands, the fingers will come apart. You'll feel it. And then when the belly contracts, the fingers will come back together, weave back together. So not necessarily clenched, but just touching
just lightly.
And like I said, you'll feel the fingertips come apart as you breathe in. Big belly and breathe out, squeeze the belly button in.
So do you focus on your hands as well? Does that
I would just, yeah, that's a good, you know, we talked about that mindfulness before, that tactile mindfulness. So that's really good because you can feel that breath rather than just this, my words are gone this week, by the way.
Rather than just saying breathe in and breathe out.
You can actually, you feel it.
Tactile.
The fingers. So that's something to focus on. Just the feeling, that self-soothing feeling of the fingertips coming in and out.
That's a simple one as well.
Absolutely, so.
So you do that every time just before you...
Exam, stress, nerves, coming on the radio, whatever.
Yeah, you do that all the time, Michelle, as well, don't you?
I do, actually. I do it a lot,
No, well, I use quite a lot of them. I think, they're really easy tips for any age as well.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be self-conscious about it. I think that one's perfect.
Yeah.
And you can catch up as well online with the very first episode of this 3-part series, even though, Michelle, you've almost been with us for a year now, haven't you?
I know. Big party.
Anniversary in a month's time, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. So, Michelle, where can we find you again online?
So I know you I've clicked because you put my name on the catch-up. So if you go on catch-up and you click my name, it takes you to the website on the interweb. I'm just going to say that now. The interweb.
You've showed your age now.
You can find me on Instagram as @midlifeandmichelle, and you can find me at the gyms and fair kites if you're in Hornchurch.
And of course, you'll be back here next Thursday,
part three.
Now, you've asked for a track. I'm going to play it, and then we'll have the ads after that. Which one is it, Michelle?
I cannot remember because of my age.
It's Erasure. Sometimes. Cheers, Michelle.
See you later.
To the bedroom. true. Not my sense of emptiness you fill with your desire.